Blog Talk Radio.
Thread of life sent down from glory. Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter. But you are the living word, say it now. Come on. Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us. Bread and down some glory. Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to Jesus the Only Way radio blog. My name is Faith Dean, and I am your host. To all those out there listening, let's give God some praise. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for everything that you do from the time that we wake up until the time that we go to sleep, Lord. We just thank you. We just give you glory. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Today, we will be talking about group thoughts and give us this day our daily bread. What it means to you, and are you doing it knowing that God is our provider? Before we get started, Deacon Chapman, would you like to open us up in prayer?
Oh, Father and gracious Creator, coming to you in the name of the Son, Jesus, and in dwelling Holy Spirit. Almighty God and most merciful Father, who has given us a new commandment, that we should love one another. Give us also grace that we may fulfill it. Make us gentle, courteous, and forbearing. Father, direct our lives that we may look to the good of others in words and in deeds. And hallow all our friendships, Father, by the blessings of your Spirit. For Jesus' name's sake, who loved us and gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Lord, bless this radio station, bless with the faith, bless all the listeners there, whatever they have petitioned to you, Father. I pray according to your will, Father, that you will give and bless, that they may be happy, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Deacon Chapman. Today, we will be talking about the group thought, Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread, and what it means to you, and are you doing it knowing that God is our provider? I'm going to start with the scripture first, and Matthew 6:11, give us this day our daily bread. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to you? Does anyone have any comments or not?
Sister Beverly is not on there?
So far it's just me and you.
All right, well, you give us your explanation.
Give us this day our daily bread means daily, not next week, not next month, but the daily bread and everything that we do and everything that we align ourselves in our lives. When we look back on Exodus 14, when the Egyptian army of chariots and the horsemen followed, the sea collapsed over them and they were all destroyed. And then Moses and the Israelites sang this song, "I would sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horses and riders he has heard and feeded." And when I think of those things, I think of the struggles and things that we go through in life and how we have our God that we can sing a song to him. We can lift him up. We can praise him because each and every day God is going to provide for us in everything that we do and everything that we go through. And no matter what it looks like, we have to depend on the word of God. We have to let it be our daily bread. And sometimes, you know, like we're always hungry for food. We're always thirsty for food. We eat on a daily basis. We diet. We exercise. Food is always a part of our lives, just the same as water for our physical needs. Sometimes we have to take medication for our needs as far as making sure we are healthy. And when we don't eat, we are kind of maybe complain here and there. It's just something that we have to do on a daily basis, that we eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner, snacks in between, desserts, whatever we like. We always satisfy those needs. But are we satisfying the needs of the daily world? Are we hungry and thirsty for the daily world? Are we in the scriptures daily from the time we wake up until the time that we wake when we go to sleep? Are we letting it be a part of our lives? Is it necessary that we read a scripture? Or if we say if we just go to church, that's enough. When you go through things in life, are we counting on the word of God to lift us up? And so those are the things that I wanted to speak on today. And I'm hoping that I thought maybe we'll be more on the line, but if two or more gathered in his name, there God is. So I'm blessed and I'm happy regardless, and hoping that someone will maybe hear it later on and maybe they can have some thoughts here and there. So Deacon Chapman, if you have anything you would like to share other than what I said, but I'm pretty sure you had some things that that you would like to share, and then I'll go back and I'll put some more stuff in there as well.
Well, in that prayer that Jesus teaches on the Sermon on the Mount, he was like, to me, he was saying in this manner that you pray. When we go to verse 11, which is your subject scripture and background scripture today, give us this day daily bread. Now, when we go to Proverbs 30:8, David says, "Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food convenient for me. Lest I be full, deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Lest I be poor and steal the name of my God in vain." Now, a lot of times we don't recognize that the word of God is food, daily food, our daily bread. And he said, give us our daily bread, is reminding us of God's daily supplying manna to Israel. And in the 16th chapter of Exodus, starting at the 13th verse, "And it came to pass that evening the quail came up and covered the ground, and in the morning the dew lay around the host. And when the dew that laid was gone upon it, behold, the face of the wilderness, there lay a small as the hard frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. So when we look at that, it is the Lord that is the supplier and the provider. And he is the one that gives us what we need on a daily basis. Now, we know that a lot of the Gentiles would eat of the sacrifice of animals that they sacrificed to God. They would eat of that food. But see, we don't have to sacrifice anymore because Jesus was our last and one and only sacrifice for our sins and our salvation, and through him we get our righteousness. And so, like I said earlier, the doctrine of that prayer is that Jesus is our provider, but God was the one that supplied the manna for the Israelites in the wilderness. But he fed them through something that they would intake internally, but this, their stomach, and for the life and their physical being. But in today's age, the bread of life, Jesus is our bread. He is the word. He is our manna. And we need to absorb this substance of this word on a daily basis, just like prayer. And in Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But do we seek that? And another thing, when we have our daily supply of physical food, do we constantly thank the Father for supplying that? When we wake up in the morning, do we thank him for breath and life? Do we bless his name? Do we bless the name of Jesus and indwelling of the Holy Spirit? And as he said, give us this day our daily bread. So he gives us things on a daily basis. But a lot of time we get so caught up in our success in life that we forget to thank him. We forget to pray and ask him to continually bless us. And bless means happy. Blessing means happiness. And the thing about it, what is our motivation for prayer? What would be our motivation for thanking him in our prayer for what he has done, what he's doing, and what he will do according to his will? Someone else has something to say, Sister Faye. Maybe you might have a comment on what I said.
I do. In Matthew 6:11, it says Jesus teaches us to pray that God would give us daily bread. And Jesus was not telling his disciples to pray only for bread, but bread was a staple in the diet of the Jews and has been for so many years. Bread was a powerful symbol of God's provision for his people in the Old Testament. We remember how God cared for the Israelites when they were in the wilderness after their exodus from Egypt. Life in the wilderness was hard, and soon the people began to complain that it would be better to be back in Egypt where they had wonderful food to eat. And in response to those, they complained. God promised to rain bread from heaven, as it says in Exodus 16:4. The next morning when the dew lifted, they remained behind on the ground, and a small round substance as fine as frost. It was like white coriander seed, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. When God miraculously feeds his people from heaven, he did so by giving them bread. And when we think about, just like you were saying, do we thank him? Because God is the provider, that we do have food, and that, you know, we are able to breathe every morning, and to thank him, and to thank him for providing the food that we get. God is our provider. And they also said when they could get, you know, the Israelites, they could get all the food they could, but if they took a whole bunch, by the next day, it had spoiled. So what they were saying is God gave them just enough for this day. And so it's the same with the daily word. God gives us enough for the daily word, but are we using what he gives us? It says daily, daily word. It is important that we get or do or be about his daily word on a daily basis. And I know I said it earlier, not next week, not on when you go to church, open up your Bible, but open up your Bible every single day. Let it be a source, just like you eat your breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And it will help you in your life. It will help you to stay at peace with God. It is something that God has asked us to do. And Jesus is our daily bread. And so that's what I wanted to say there. Deacon Chapman, you have anything else you want to share with that?
Well, also in the 16th chapter of Exodus, concerning the manna, God had said in the 26th verse, well, let's go to the 25th verse. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath day unto the Lord. Today you shall not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather in the end, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out of some of the people on the seventh day for together, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my law? See, for the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. Therefore he given you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was like an occurring seed white, but the taste of it was like a wafer made with honey. And that scripture that I said, especially, they gathered more manna that would be suffice for them for 2 days. But in this day and age, can we really be suffice for 2 days and ask God and abide in God for just 2 days? Because you see, abide in me and I abide in you, and you abide in my word daily. And the thing about it, Israel had the Sabbath day. But we have the Lord's day now, which is the first day of the week, which he rose. But I'm not really going to offend anybody with this statement, I hope. But he said the Sabbath was made for man, man not for the Sabbath. And he's Lord of the Sabbath. So that means that every day is a Sabbath day if you rest in Christ. And we don't have manna raining from heaven anymore. We work, but we do. We have to prepare I remember growing up, my grandmother baked bread. She baked biscuits. She baked, we call them pancakes, but they had something they call hoe cakes that she made with fried bread and sense. But these were preparation, and there was utensils that they used. But see, God did not use a utensil, a recipe, to rain manna from heaven. But out of that manna that rained from heaven, they could grind it, they could make parchment, they could make soup. There's a many things that they could make out of this little small white bread that fell from heaven. And they could grind it to make flour and so. But what I'm trying to say is that we today, our food is the word of God through his apostles, disciples, and his son. Okay, and by saying that, words are descriptive. Words are informational. We have to read the Word of God. But the only way, Sister Faith, that someone will come into a constant study and set aside time to study God's Word, God has to open up their heart. They got to want to do this. Mm-hmm. They got to want to attain what God's salvation, His mercy, His grace, His righteousness, His salvation, and His grace is. They have to have that opening for that. It's like in the 16th chapter of Acts when Lydia, God opened her heart that she could fully get what Paul was trying to explain about the grace of God. And, you know, God told Moses to go before the people and take the elders of Israel in the rod and smut the river and take in thy hands and go. And when it crossed the river Jordan. But the thing about it, do we today follow what Scripture instructs us to do? And also, backing up, when Moses, God told Moses, speak to a rock, water came forth, the people were thirsty. Strike the rock, water came forth. And the second time, he told him to speak to the rock, but he was so frustrated with the people that he struck the rock. But God still provided water from that rock, and he told him to speak to the rock. And so what I'm saying is God is speaking us through his word, through his son, the scripture that we have, because back in those days, they did not have scripture. All the people had was God and Moses at that particular time. But look what we have now. We have the Bible, the written scripture that was written by scribes. The Bible was not written to us, but it was written for us to study what they went through, that we will know how not to go through certain things. But we have escalated to the point we kind of almost in the body, on the church, not the body, the church is worse than Israel was, because we are very obedient. We are very disobedient. We are very unbelief, because the word unbelief goes not only in the Old Testament, but the New Testament too. So you have to dig into that word. And if you study in totality the Sermon on the Mount, you'll find the will of God through the Son. And you'll find about hypocritical people. You'll find about how we are to attain ourselves in forgiveness. Because if we don't forgive those who trespass us, how can we ask God to forgive us? And if we don't thank God for what he does for us on a daily basis,
mm-hmm.
we're still lost.
Amen.
And we still, and there's a lot of lost people sitting in pews every Sunday, every Bible study, every Sunday school class. And there's a falling away. People don't want to hear the word anymore. You know, they want to hear what's emotionally good for the itching of their ears. But we have to, you don't hear much about sin. You don't hear much more about failure. And we are constantly failing God because we don't fast on the word. And what I mean fast, feast on the word. And when we fast on the word, we feed on it, we fast on it. You may take a break or two. I don't say I get into it every day, but I don't say that everybody has to do what I do, because I provide the time in the morning with my two cups of coffee and get in studying certain things and studying for my, I got a class next month, and I've been studying constantly for that class on a daily basis, getting different information from different areas to put out an outline together. But the thing about it is, back to your subject about daily bread, we have to be reminded, I said earlier, God is our supplier. Okay, when Jesus fed the 5,000, if you read that scripture, you see that he lifted up and thanked God, who is the manufacturer, and he gave it to the disciples, who became the distributors. He was teaching them a lesson that they have to distribute this word. Because you remember in Matthew 5:13, say, ye are the salt of the word. Salt is a preservative. And they were to preserve this teaching that he and pass it on. And also, when he raised Lazarus from the grave, he said, I thank you, God, for hearing me. And a question is, who on earth at that time had the closest connection with God and still prayed.
Mm-hmm.
It was Jesus, his son, the second part of the Godhead. So he's given us a formula here to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and your will be done. But do we constantly ask God, what is your will for me? And also when we pray for asking for petitions or blessings, and say, according to your will in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Back to you.
Amen. I wanted to say in Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And I just wanted to say that never forget that you are a child of God, and he created you, and he loves you, and he wants you to come to him. Not only just is your daily bread the word of God, but let him be your need in everything, as the prayer says. It could be your daily bread, could be your guidance, your for your health, for your housing, or for good government, or a happy marriage. You know, so you may not be tired or run down. Let that be your daily bread. And maybe it could be for energy. It could be, that could be your daily bread. And not only for the food, but let it be for your clothes, your clothing, your housing, your yard, your animals, you know, your devoted spouse, your children, you know, the places where you work. Have faithful rulers around you and a good government with peace and health, good friends and good neighbors. Let that be part of your daily bread. But I want to just share a little testimony about, I have a cousin that got married and he had children. And after about a year or two, he said to himself, well, he actually said it to me. He said, you know, I thought being married would make me happy. I thought having kids would make me happy, but I'm not happy. And it's not that he didn't love his wife or anything. He just felt like something that was missing in his life. And so my point here, the ultimate bread is Jesus Christ. He is the bread that came down from heaven. He is the bread of life. And our human heart has to have a deep desire and appetite to worship the Lord. In other words, we can be happy with the temporary things in life, but God put us here to have a need and a want for him, and to be happy, you have to have that desire or want to be in a relationship with the Lord, because he's the only one that can fill that spiritual hole in your human heart. And so I just wanted to share that the ultimate bread is Jesus Christ. And once you open up your heart and let him in, just as what you were saying earlier, you will know that you have found that. It will fill that hole with everything that you need. And anybody else have any more questions or comments? Deacon Chapman, you have anything else you want to share with that?
I'd like to share something out of the book of Colossians. When Paul, and in fact, Paul's epistle that he wrote to all believers. You know, a lot of people think he was writing in general, but he was writing to the believers. Because when he started off the book of letter to Colossians, he said, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. But I'd like to look at the 15th verse. He said, who is the image of the visible God, firstborn of every creature? For by him are all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and all things he might have preeminence. Okay, you know, there were many people that was raised, came back, was raised back to life, even Lazarus, but they all died later. But Jesus was mm-hmm. the firstborn
mm-hmm.
from the dead. In everlasting life. Now, the fleshly body that he had was died, but he gave his spirit, saying, in that my hand I commit my spirit. And what I'm getting to say that, for it pleases the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. So we are supposed to be dwelling in him
mm-hmm.
because his blood is what gave us the peace through his sacrificial bleeding and shed blood on the cross. And when you get to believe that as a believer in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So can we have that Damascus road experience that Paul had, because Paul got so much insight from that Damascus road that he would not turn back. But many of us today are falling away. We turning away from because of what dislikes, because someone told me recently their son, they're disabled and their son won't take them to church because they don't like the church. I told him that is not the premise where he's supposed to be, whether he lack or dislike, he is supposed to be taking his disabled mother. She wanted to go to worship. You follow what I'm saying, Sister Faith?
Yes, I sure do.
But she carried him for 9 months. She pushed him out. Well, he was in her pain. But he's saying that, he said that she just being messy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this boy's heart is not open. And he said, if you continue in the faith, grounded in faith. So I'm going to pray for him that God opens his heart.
Amen.
Because supposed to rejoice in it. If Paul said he rejoiced in the suffering for you,
mm-hmm.
we are
mm-hmm.
supposed to rejoice in the suffering of people.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it, we're supposed to reach out. Jesus gave us through the teaching of the apostles,
mm-hmm.
that we're supposed to reach out to those that are lost.
Right.
See? And if we lost, you can't do what you cannot reach out until you get converted. Because you remember he told Peter, when you get converted, you strengthen your brother.
Right. Oh, I just wanted to share that with you. I did reach out, because that was my cousin. I definitely reached out to him. But
I was not referring to just that incident come up and
general,
it reminded me of what someone told me about their son.
Right. I totally agree with you, and just like you say, even if you don't say anything personally to the person, unless God leads you to, you go ahead and do and be an obedient to God, but you can pray that God will open up his heart, you know, regardless of you planted a seed in his life, so that when that time comes, God will open up that door. And
a lot of times, instead of us always trying to give advice, just go off and pray
mm-hmm.
to the Holy Spirit. The Holy
just
Spirit do the work.
Pray.
Let
I
the Holy Spirit do the work. I can't save nobody.
Yes,
I can't send nobody to heaven.
Right. You can't save nobody, but you can lift them up to the Lord. You can put them at the throne of God, and God will take care of the rest.
I can do like one hungry man pointing another hungry man to where he got some bread from.
Right, exactly. It's the same with you and I and anyone else that have that relationship with the Lord. It was a one-on-one, your time with God. When God opened up that door for you, and when you're ready to receive him into your life. And he will make the drastic changes in your life and fill those holes in your life that are empty. And even if there's some things that you have gone through that are hurtful, God will replace them with his love.
And if you're going to profess the Lord Savior Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have to have a prayer life as a professed Christian. That means you are on duty 24/7.
Right. I agree with you.
I can't tell nobody how to pray, but go to God's word. Okay, well, I'll make a recommendation. Psalm 51.
Right.
David just laid his soul out to God. I can imagine him laying down prostrate, hands stretched out, feet stretched out, giving his heart to God.
Yes, amen. Amen, mercy seat. Okay, we have gotten to the end of our radio block today. Deacon Chapman, would you like to close in prayer for us?
Father God, we thank you, Father, that you gave us the opportunity to come to this audience today, Father, with words from Matthew 6:11 about God giving us our daily bread. We're giving thanks for that, Father. And I pray that somebody's heart has been touched today, that words spoken that would enable them to be more fruitful in their studies on a daily basis, or whatever time they have set aside, and that they would pray to you, God, to show you to them through the word. Radio station, Father. Bless Sister Faith, Father. Bless all those that are listening, Father. Anyone that has any informalities, any illness, I pray unto God's will that he will touch and heal. If those that don't want to go to the doctor, God will instruct you through the Spirit to go to your doctor. Get examinations, especially men and women, children too. And Father, we thank you for this day, for this is the day that you have made. And we have rejoiced, and we are very glad in it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Deacon Chapman. Thank you for the radio block today, and tune in next week. We have Sister Andrea. She will be speaking whatever the Lord has placed on her heart. And all of you have a blessed week and a good evening. Thank you. God bless you.
Amen.